Blog Talk Radio.
It's what I cannot do, because you don't know what God already done off the record. The Bible says that when David gets down to the field, he survives the fight of familiarity. And then when he gets down in front of the light, the Bible says that the light.
Oh, boy. We are on fire right now. You know I had to bring this on in. We're going to go ahead and look at listening to some more of the broadcasting on this week.
I don't know if you've ever been introduced, but I want you to see my wonderful, beautiful, fine husband. Stand up, sir. Stand up, sir. And we've got for the elder Darren McAllister. Come on. That's it. Thank you so much for your prayers for us as we went through our storms. But God always brings you through a storm. Hallelujah to Jesus. He's got a book that's going to be coming out in a couple of days called Survivors of Storms. And I want you to get it because it's real, it's raw, it tells the whole truth and nothing but the truth. It helps to give us insight into what you do when your situation, when you call on God and it seems that God is not answering your prayer, what do you do? And if I can take just a moment of personal privilege, there were days when I didn't know how I was going to pay my bills. There were days when I cried and I said, Lord, how is this going to work out? And God, as I shared with you before, said to me, listen, when I bring you through this, you don't want to look back at this time in your life and be embarrassed by your behavior. It was then that I decided that every time I came into the house of God, I was going to get my best praise. I was going to put on my best dress. And I was going to fix my best lashes. Come on, come on. And you weren't going to see me cry, but you were going to see me give God what he is worthy of, because I know that if he brought me through the storm, he was going to bring me through the storm. Somebody wear that head, hallelujah. So I'm here to declare today that we are survivors. And that's for those of you that told me to leave here. Come on. Yeah, I just put it out there. That's for all of you that had your mouth on it in a negative way. I'm a shaker. You see, because I know that I don't fight on this level. I fight from the air.
When you got it.
Ooh. Listen to this message, y'all. Listen.
Stars. I got some bruises. I got some hurt. But everybody don't know my
but you need to be on tonight, the light of the last night. But you can also, if you have any family or friends that are in Charlotte, North Carolina, you need to be telling them to get you the all-star lineup. I'll be taking it back, not the star. The all-word lineup of this week's speakers in the International AIM Convention. I tell you, the Lord has been in the place. Bishop Rudolph McKenzie let it out, told the men about ministry, what ministry is about. Finding that in churches that a lot of men figure the wrong things out, indicating that it's important. As Bishop McKenzie said on Tuesday night, he said, God created and established family, and that was his purpose. That is God's purpose. What has happened in the church, what they've done to bring a lot of confusion to the family, they put the denomination, the title, and the position first, not their family. Uh-oh, I'm sorry. I'm not going to have no more viewers anymore. Because you cannot, any means necessary, switch that around. It's not about your position. It's not about your status. It's about what the Bible says. And where we have lost that because, oh, we got to honor the person because they wear a chain or a rope or whatever. The chain and rope is nothing but just a symbol of what position you're in, but that's not what God told you. God told you to take care of your family. You see to the needs of your wife, your children, not running around trying to catch up with all the money to pay these assessment reports and all that other kind of stuff. No. That's like doing what the Water Buffalo Club do in the fraternal order of what you call the people? The Masons. But my whole thing is that you got to understand to do and how to do. It's not being taught in the church. Bishop McKissick tore it up. He laid down the foundation. He laid down the scripture. He didn't put his feelings into it. Oh, but on... what's today? Friday? Thursday? Yesterday afternoon. Apostle Matthew Stevenson, Chicago home, he just whooped us. He told the older generation that what you have covered, that what you have said and have not lived by, you caused your next generation to be cursed. With what you're doing, what you're saying, how you're doing, how you're saying, your actions, the cover-up, women, the cover-up, women, the cover-up, women, the cover-up, women, the cover-up. Because I've learned that women, the wives, cover up all of the things that their husbands have done. And they have sent them up to silence and not to do what the Bible says do, but to do what the man orders them to do. They got it so backwards, it makes no sense. We've lost all of that because of what we feel. We've lost all of it. Glory to God. We've lost it. I was sharing with one of my girlfriends, and we talk about this all the time because in the ministry, we have the foundation, but actually fulfilling the requirements of the foundation has made it horrible and dishonorable to God. Because you wouldn't have a lot of stuff going on if you had men that really love God the way that they're supposed to, according to the Bible, because what happens? It's about self-gratification and self-image, self-posture. And so when we begin to have these positions, it changes who you are, or you allow it to change who you are. And you figure that, oh, I don't have to do this. I am a man of God. I. And then your eye comes into the home. And guess what? Your eyes are cut off. They're plucked because your pride has gotten in the way. Your flesh has gotten in the way. And this is where you have problems, why marriages are in trouble, why a lot of women are going through. Some women just say, well, I don't want a divorce because I'm just going to die, and they'll die themselves out to get away. Leaders, let me say this to you all. And I've taught this in many sessions, especially in the church. When you are in leadership, follow the word of God. You don't follow what the denominations say you got to do. Because many of you all have broken your finances in your house to meet the credentials, reports, assessments, and all that stuff. You will let your light bill go. You'll let your gas bill go. You'll let your car note be late. You'll let your utilities be shut off. Trying to meet the deadline of all these assessments, that is not biblical. The Bible didn't tell you that. If you're not making enough money to do that, then the assessment will have to wait. I'm just keeping it real. Because what you're doing is you're destroying your house. And then everybody else in the house, they suffer from it. Then you are, you're in a situation where you have totally become a changed person, and your wife and your children, including the dog and the cat, they feel it because of how your actions are. Men, you do not disrespect or dishonor your wife and expect God to bless you. The cockiness and the arrogancy will get you in trouble with God real fast. You know why? Because that's part of Satan's kingdom. If you're going to be the man that God called you to be, follow the word of God. That's what the message is all on this week, especially this morning with Pastor Welkin Smith. That young man, he ought to be my son. He literally got into the heart and the core of when you are in ministry. And that's basically what it is, because God's work is not hard to do. We make it complicated by adding other things into the program and these requirements. Instead of going out witnessing and meeting the needs of the people, we're meeting the need of other things and don't have nothing to show for it. We don't. No shelters, no training programs, no funding for anything. But we're doing all of this. We're making reports, assessments. We got to go to the meeting. Why? Because we just got to go. Why? What's going on? I don't know. We got to go. Why? Because in these meetings, when we have our jurisdictional meetings, we don't have nothing productive. You got all the state department heads that are over departments, but they're not bringing in no money to help the jurisdiction where the local churches could be able to have something. So basically, local churches are on their own. They're literally on their own. You know why? Because there is no one, or if there is someone, prelates will not allow the people that can actually do it to bring it into the jurisdiction. Why? Because they don't want it. They don't care about that. They want the money to put in their pocket to take care of their wife. I'm just telling you the truth. So now, when the local churches start to detach themselves from the jurisdiction and not be running around all these meetings, then everybody's going to say, you ain't faithful. Why are you being faithful to something that's not, they're not doing anything? They're literally not doing nothing. Nothing. For these Fellowship Outreach Ministry is getting ready to launch a school as well as a food pantry. We have not asked anyone for any money. We have not begged nobody for a dollar. The bulk of the money comes out of this house. Mm-hmm. It does. And we got some members that are good and some members that are slow and whatnot, but we still do what we need to do. When I look at the services that took place on this week, although I never met her, hopefully one day I will, Dr. Julie McAllister, I have always loved your musical correlation because I'm in the same area you are. We just never crossed paths. But you, your first CD that came out, I was first one to buy it here in Chicago. Joe did. I gave it to someone. But the services this week are fulfilling. When Pastor Apostle Matthew Stevens talked about the former generation. The former generation was at fault for a lot of things because they did not do what they were supposed to do in order to help those who are in need. They've covered up so many people I know personally that have endured a lot of pain and disheartened because of family drama. Family drama to do that. So much adultery, so many things that they brought to their homes, to their families, and a lot of the men didn't even care to even look at what they had done. They literally just allowed things to be coming in through the doors of their family to justify their flesh. That is what has been on parade. It's been on parade. Nothing but flesh. Why is flesh been on parade? Cause a lot of division in family. And that's what has happened. And so now when you have flesh that caused division in families, what happens after that? They say, well, you literally are human. You let things happen. No, it's just some things you shouldn't even allow to happen. Temptation is something, I promise you. It really is. How the next generation is affected. And when it's affected, they never get a chance to bounce back from that. I'm going to play again Bishop McKissick's message so you can get a clarity of understanding of how this was going.
You don't have a clue of the private battles I have. You don't have a clue of the private fights I have. Because I'm still strong for Jesus. I'm looking for somebody who can just invite you for cover. Thank you that you wouldn't get my name to sleep. Thank you that you couldn't put it on Facebook. Thank you that they couldn't put it in the media. Thank you, God, that you God. Thinking you all that, you know what you need to do. Look underneath your coat. Get the time you start smelling yourself like Brother Mama said, look underneath your coat. Because sometimes you need to have a reminder that if it has not been for the Lord on your side, you still be uncovered. When I did come out by three people, they tell them Jesus covered me. He covered me. He helped me get through it because he covered me. I'm not preaching because I got degrees. I ain't preaching because I got a good church. I'm preaching because he covered me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Throw your head back and say, I'm covered. In his right mind so that he can start thinking for himself. Anybody ever had him giving your mind back?
Well, it's another one. Bye. Bye. Stevenson from here in Chicago because he has basically told the truth. Are you ready for the truth?
You are a preacher and you don't have out devils. I want to know, Lord, have mercy, help me with that. What are you preaching to prisoners except there is a power that can set you free? Every now and then, a demon ought to scream out of a deacon when you preach. And Christ, excuse me, we try enough. Now you're scared. You're nervous. Because we love to talk about angels. We love to talk about Cupid, but we don't want to talk about devils. Certainly, if there are devils, they got to be in Africa somewhere overseas. You know, there may be some right next to you. And anybody that's been in church longer than 10 minutes, no Christians can have demons. Have you ever seen an evil person, a paper? the right of those that believe. Preachers need deliverance. Musicians need deliverance. I'm out here now. Choir directors need deliverance. Everybody needs deliverance. Well, when did you finally deliver? When you keep getting delivered, it's trifles of deliverance. I have an issue. It's a demon. I struggle with depression. The Bible calls it a spirit of heaviness. These are people who y'all are uncomfortable today. And you know, when you start talking about demons, people get real nervous because they say, well, what is my Holy Ghost? So he's there. He's helping. They just live in different apartments. Them demons is in your soul. Your mind, your will. If you ask God for healing, what do you think he's doing? 80% of the time when Jesus heals somebody, he addressed a spirit of infirmity, which means there was a demon in somebody that needed healing. So maybe we're finding some progress. Because the Bible said this storm was a messenger of Satan, which means that this is a species of demonic spirit whose strategy was to talk. You keep yourself together, but there's a lot of you that are bound because of what you see. And because the devil is like, if I can't get you while you're awake, I'll get in your dreams. I'll mess with you and make you have to ventilate. I'll spit on you while you sleep and make you feel like you can't breathe when you come up. I'll make you pessimistic. I'll terrorize your children in nightmares. You think it's cute, but little Sally and little Tisha is in that room horrified because of a boogeyman. How dare you? Say you feel with the Holy Ghost. I let that boogeyman stand. No. If something's talking to you under that bed, get your butt up. You get the oil. We're going to deal with this boogeyman when you're 12. Why? Because it's cute when you're 12. When you're 30, that thing ain't cute no more. There is no baby devil. He is not partying to possess people. We must cast out devil. Hey. Deliverance is about to break out all over the Church of Covenant Christ. They're going to be ministers of deliverance, songs of deliverance, intercessors of deliverance. You watch and you see. God has heard the cry of a remnant, and you're going to be preaching, and people are going to scream, oh no! You're going to be singing, and devils will come out of people. You're going to be singing, and folks will begin to sing. He is ready to set his people free. Come on, say deliverance! Say deliverance! Say deliverance! Say deliverance! A messenger was given to him. Now, Paul told us how the power of the help work. He told us there were devices of Satan. When you are a tempted man, one of the devices is the voices in your head. It's the easy way the enemy can deal with you. You ain't nothing. They knew your real story. You're not called this. They're just people. Don't tell nobody the truth. You are unlike them. How many of you have left the church out of offense? You need a deliverance. Jesus said, offense must come. When you graduate from people, offense, what offends you reveals you. If you are not saved enough to handle an offense, you got somebody else. When we go to altar call, we love dealing with the mini devils. You know, I heard, you know, I just don't think they see my anointing. I understand. But you got some witchcraft in there, ma'am. You say you feel the Holy Ghost, and you still read the Zodiac. You say you feel with the Holy Ghost, and you still talking to down talking to you. You say you feel the Holy Ghost, and you still superstition. Come out good and bad. Look, I believe what God is going to do as a byproduct of this AIM meeting is put a hatred for hell so deep in you that your holiness is a fruit that grows. We must bind the devil and cast him. This devil operated with messenger status. Herein are devils. Paul went to God saying, I need deliverance from this. This is a thorn, which means there is something beautiful in me. But anybody who tries to put their hands on it will be cut by trying to help a beautiful thing. There's something beautiful going on potentially in my marriage or in my body or in my business. But the thorns of my own prevented from being what it should be. God, will you take this with me? Don't praise him. It's the last time. You won't get the victory. God, who do you think this is? Getting up the year. That's bad. Come on, y'all. Daniel. take us away.
Okay. Which one? Joyce. Okay, Joyce, I'll see you tomorrow when you all open up. My name is Katrina. Okay, thank you. Here we got another one. Here we got another one.
Hey.